Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome to a Wednesday morning edition of After Hours right here on CBS Sports Radio. Zach Gelb filling in for Amy Lawrence, A-Law, for the rest of the week. You give us a call at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, or you could also give me a follow, shoot me a tweet on the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. Chris Thomas, Robbie Rosenhaus, they're on the other side of the glass. They'll be screening the phone calls and pressing all the sounders that we need throughout the next 4 hours. And we're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and make sure you always mortgage confidently. We'll also be joined by three guests on our over 200 affiliates in SiriusXM Channel 206. Coming up in about an hour and 20 minutes, we'll be joined by a team that's in the AP Top 25. He's the head football coach of the Army West Point football program, and that's Jeff Monken. They have a big matchup coming up on December 8th, of course, in one of the legendary college football rivalries, Army and Navy. That game on December 8th in South Philadelphia, 3 p.m. Eastern on CBS. So we'll check in with Jeff Monken, whose team is ranked in the top 25 for the first time since 1996. As we move along throughout the duration of the program, at 4 a.m. Eastern, we'll be joined by Kevin Harlan, the fantastic broadcaster, NFL on CBS and also Westwood One, and also the NBA on TNT. And then in the final hour of the program, which would be 5 a.m. Eastern, 2 a.m. Pacific, we'll be joined by someone that will be in the NFL Hall of Fame one day in Canton, Ohio. We'll be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's the former Jet cornerback, the former Patriot cornerback, and also had two stops, quick stops, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and also the Kansas City Chiefs. Darrell Revis will join us. So an action-packed show. We need you along the way at 855-212-4CBS. But where we have to start is, of course, with the thrilling game from Monday Night Football. And I was filling in for Scotty Farrell, so we got to react to it live while it was going on. But when you're doing a radio show live, you can't watch every play. You don't get the luxury of sitting on your couch, sipping on your beers and eating your chicken wings or your pizza and your buffalo chicken dip, or you have the smells of the food that's getting ready for Thanksgiving coming up in a little bit on Thursday. You don't get that luxury. So I went home and I got a chance to see more of the highlights and really analyze that game. And I still feel the same way about it. Hey, that was a heck of a football game, 54-51. It was one of the more entertaining football games you will ever see. And you have the Rams now being elevated to 10-1, and the Chiefs, they fall to 9-2, and their two losses have been in two of the better games of the football season, maybe the two best games of the football season, in the 43-40 affair in New England with the Pats and the Chiefs, and then the latest one where the Rams get the victory out in L.A., 54-51 over Kansas City. But when you watch that game, I don't know how you walk away with it without saying one word. And that's just wow. It was unbelievable, that football game. And when you have a game that's 54-51, you would have thought that it was all Patrick Mahomes and Jared Goff, and there was no defense being played. But there actually was some defense being played, with how many points did lead off of turnovers and how many turnovers went right to touchdowns. And you had some fumbles by the quarterbacks and interceptions, especially two late ones by Patrick Mahomes. So defense did still play a factor into this one. And that's where we're at right now with the NFL. It's high scoring. It's Big 12 football. It's college football. It is fun. But who cares? I don't get the people that go, oh, it's not fun. Oh, it's not entertaining. How was Monday night not entertaining? It was everything you want in a football game. It was exciting. It went right down to the wire. And it was constantly moving, which now in our society, We have short attention spans. We need to see things constantly moving. I don't know if we want to see 10-minute drives and methodical ways to win a football game. Now, if you're rooting for that team, sure. You'll take it however it comes. But that was a football game where it was quick. And the scoring, it came in masses, but it came really quickly. And that's what we're going to continue to see for the rest of the season when you get to the teams that could potentially get to the Super Bowl. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But if you look at the three best games in the NFL season so far, Saints-Rams, 45-35. Pats-Chiefs, 43-40. And Chiefs-Rams, 54-51. So the numbers are going to be just growing bigger and bigger and bigger when if you look at the numbers and the total points per game by teams, they're up. And the ratings were spectacular on Monday Night Football. So I absolutely loved it. But defense isn't dead. Let's just be clear on that. There's still a place in the game for defense. And you could argue it, oh, how can you say that after 54-51? Well, yeah, sure. You're not going to get the classic defensive battles anymore of a 9-6 game or a gritty 14-13 type of game, 17-14. Sure, you may get that here and there. But with the elite teams, if the Super Bowl this year is 17-14, and I get it, we predict football all the time, and there's a lot of times we'll break things down until we're blue in the face and we'll be totally wrong. But I would be stunned if in the Super Bowl this year, the final score is 14-13 or 17-14. Just with the way the game is being played, I don't see it. But there's still a place in the game for defense. Ask the Rams. They allowed last night the final number to be 51 points. Their defense, though, in fantasy still got 22 points because they were getting touchdowns defensively. They were forcing fumbles by mistakes on Patrick Mahomes. They were forcing Mahomes to throw interceptions. So defense, it's not dead. It's just different. Now it's all about can your defense score? Can your defense slip the field? Which it's been that way for a long time, but can you make the timely stop? And that's what we saw last year in the Super Bowl, which was a great Super Bowl between the Patriots and the Eagles. That was drag you up and down the field. Offense, offense, offense. Brady to Gronk. Nick Foles to the bevy of characters that he had on the Philadelphia Eagles. A Corey Clement, an Alshon Jeffrey. It was just constant up and down the field. Points, 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 points. Tom Brady threw for 505 yards and a loss. But what was the biggest play of the game? It wasn't an offensive touchdown. It wasn't Corey Clement in the back of the end zone. It wasn't the Philly special. It wasn't a big catch by Nelson Aguilar late. It wasn't the Gronk touchdowns. It wasn't an Alshon Jeffrey touchdown catch. No. The biggest play of that game, the most impactful play in that game, the turning point, the final exclamation point on that game was when Brandon Graham forced a fumble, stripped Tom Brady, and then Derek Barnett recovered the football. That changed the game. And that is what defense is now. You're not going to see defense most times, 90% of the time now, dominate for a full 60 minutes. Most of the times when you're going up against elite competition, your defense is going to get beat. The Patriots' defense isn't good this year. The Chiefs' defense isn't good this year. The Steelers' defense is better. It's not great. The Rams have some big-time playmakers, but they're not a great defense compared to other great defenses. The Saints, they could play some defense, but they're not a great defense. But they do enough to survive in a football game. The Rams' defense on Monday night did just enough to score and then also make a big play at the end of the game on where you had two interceptions late on the first one. That was probably the most impactful one. And that's what defense is right now in the National Football League. Not a domination of 60 minutes. You don't get many 85 Bears performances anymore or early 2000 Ravens. That doesn't happen. Sure, defense can still take over a game. Look on Sunday night with the Bears and the Vikings, as that wasn't an offensive showcase. That was more defensive related. But the Bears aren't winning the Super Bowl this year, and neither are the Minnesota Vikings. It's about scoring right now. And when you look at the teams that probably have a shot to get to the Super Bowl, I think it's only five. I really do. In the NFC, if it's someone other than the Saints or the Rams, I'll be really surprised. And then in the AFC, it's the Pats, Chiefs, and Steelers. That's the trio. And that's no disrespect to Houston. That's no disrespect to the LA Chargers. And in that Super Bowl this year, Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta, you give me Saints, Pats, high scoring. You give me Saints, Chiefs, high scoring. You give me Saints, Steelers, high scoring. Same could be said, Rams, Pats, Rams, Chiefs. We just saw it the other night. And then Rams, Steelers. All those games will be high scoring. But if you love defense and if you're a fan of defense, that game will be decided on what defense can make the last stop. What defense can change the game on a pick six or a fumble taken within inside the 5-yard line or even into the end zone. And that's the way defense to me for the elite teams are now played in the National Football League. Now, one other thing that I had to take away from the game the other night, it was the run game. And when I was looking at the run game, I was surprised that the coaches didn't develop a formula and come up with a game plan when you have such talented running backs in Kareem Hunt and then also Todd Gurley to elect to run the football, get into the 20s in the carries, and go on these long drives that will take the other team's offense off the field, and you go on these 8-9 minute drives. But they weren't electing to do that. Now, we find out that Todd Gurley did roll his ankle in the game. He was still effective, 12 for 55. And then with Kareem, Andy Reid, we know he doesn't like to run the football. We saw in the postseason game last year up against the Tennessee Titans. But Kareem Hunt, he went 14 carries, 70 yards. How do you not run the ball more? And I get it. Patrick Mahomes is an exceptional talent. Patrick Mahomes threw for 478 yards the other night and 6 touchdowns. But he's still a young quarterback. And in these elite games this year, in his 2 toughest games, yes, he was great up against the Patriots. Also threw 2 costly interceptions in the first half. And then up against the Rams, threw 3 interceptions. So the Chiefs had the opportunity to not totally take the ball out of his hands because you needed him to be a playmaker to win, but to take a little bit of the pressure off of him and help him out. And what is the 2 things that make a quarterback's best friend is, number 1, a great offensive line, but number 2, a good running back. And they could have utilized Kareem more in that game when he was getting 5 yards per carry. But Andy Reid elected to do as he does in typical Andy Reid fashion. Nope, not going to happen. So the way I'm going to preface this question to you is I have 2 questions for you, and we want to hear from you right after the commercial break at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Are you a fan of the way the game is played right now? We're in the 3 best games this season, from my memory, Saints-Rams high scoring, Pats-Chiefs high scoring, Chiefs-Rams high scoring, as Monday night was the first time in NFL history a team has scored 50 points and lost. If you score 50 points going into Monday night in a football game, you were 216-0. That's a stat that I saw from Adam Schefter. So do you like the way the game is played now? And then also, what is the Super Bowl matchup that you want to see? Because I laid it out for you. I think there's 5 teams that could get there. Saints, Rams, Pats, Chiefs, and Steelers. As a fan, who are the 2 teams, if you take your rooting allegiances and put them aside, who are the 2 teams that you want to see in the Super Bowl, in Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta? 855-212-4CBS. Jeff Monken will join us in an hour from now at 4 a.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. Pacific. We'll be joined by Kevin Harlan, the legendary broadcaster. And then at 5 a.m. Eastern, 2 a.m. Pacific, we'll be joined by the future Hall of Fame quarterback in Darrelle Revis. Zach Gelbin for Amy Lawrence. It's After Hours, rocking and rolling on a Wednesday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelbin for Amy Lawrence. It's After Hours right here on CBS Sports Radio. Taking a look at the potential Super Bowl teams, also asking who do you want to see get to the Super Bowl this year, in addition to do you like the way the NFL is being played right now, coming off that game that we're still recovering from, 54-51 on Monday Night Football, where the Rams did just edge out the Kansas City Chiefs at 855-212-4CBS. That's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. And it's brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Let me just give you a little bit on all five of the teams that I think could get to the Super Bowl and what these storylines are. With the Saints, it's all about Drew Brees. Where Drew Brees is a Hall of Fame quarterback, in my mind, and one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. However, if he could win a second Super Bowl, he will get elevated nationally from all-time status. And I think he's going to win the MVP this year. Now, you could make the arguments between two people, Brees or Mahomes. For most of the year, I was on Patrick Mahomes in terms of MVP. But Drew Brees only has one interception this year, and I think that they're going to give it to Drew Brees. Taking nothing away from Patrick Mahomes, he's been great. He may still win the award, but this is going to be a close MVP race, and it's going to be coming down between Brees and Patrick Mahomes. But the story with the Saints, well, it really would be if Brees and Sean Payton could win a second Super Bowl, it would elevate their status in NFL history. Also, you have the redemption factor, as Robbie Rosenhaus knows very well, Saints-Vikings from a year ago and how the Saints season did end. There's a bitter taste in Saints fans' mouths, and they're going to try to correct that this year in the postseason. They have the team to do it. For the Rams, it's all about the whiz kid. It's all about Sean McVay and what he's able to do. And if he could win a Super Bowl at that age, it would be definitely fun to watch. With the Pats, it's Brady and Belichick. They continue to enhance their NFL legacy. If they could get it done, they'll be having their sixth ring as a duo together. With the Chiefs, for me, about the Chiefs, it's the emergence of Patrick Mahomes and how quickly he's been able to have success in the National Football League. But if the Chiefs win, the big storyline would be finally the very, 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 very good tag with Andy Reid would be removed, and then people would look at him as a great coach. Some may look at him as a great coach, but when you habitually make the same mistakes in the postseason, I can't call you great. And that's no disrespect to Andy Reid. It's just telling the truth. I think he is a very, 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 very good coach, just not a great coach. But if he could win a Super Bowl finally, that would put him in the great coach category. And then the Steelers, it would be Tomlin getting another ring, but more importantly, Big Ben Roethlisberger getting his third ring. And then also Antonio Brown would be getting his first ring. And you would have the storyline of the Steelers getting past the Le'Veon Bell drama, the way James Conner's playing, and also them fixing both their offensive and defensive line. So those are some of the story matchups. We'll head to you, though, on the phones right now at 855-212-4CBS. Do you like the way the game is being played right now in the National Football League? And also, who do you think is going to the Super Bowl? Where on my Twitter, Willie M says, Chargers versus Rams in the Super Bowl. I don't think the Chargers get there. I picked them before the year to get there. I don't think they get there now. And let me see if we have one more that was tweeted in. I think we got one more somewhere where I can't find it right now on Twitter. Oh, here we go. Leslie in Fort Lee. Saints versus Patriots. That would be a mega, mega, mega ratings for the National Football League when you put Drew Brees up against Tom Brady and then also Sean Payton up against Bill Belichick. But we head to the phones right now. We go to Erie, Pennsylvania. We talk to Nick's. Nick, first up with Zach Elbin After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Nick? Hello, first, Nick.
I do appreciate the new kind of format, I guess, with the way that penalties are called as far as offensive ability goes. High-scoring games are super fun to watch. Monday night was awesome, you know. Really good seeing those two teams go together. But I want to say that also, as far as Super Bowl goes, I am a Steelers fan, so I am kind of partial. But I sat down with a Ravens fan and a Bills fan, and we kind of hashed out what we think the postseason is going to look like. And after all was said and done, we came up with New Orleans-Pittsburgh Super Bowl.
That'd be a fun one. I'd sign up for that right now. I don't think you could go wrong with any of the five teams that I think can get there. But you give me New Orleans up against Pittsburgh, that's a game that's going to be high scoring, and I think it comes right down to the wire.
You know, and it's one of those things that it's early. I mean, especially with as many 5-5 teams as we have as far as wild cards go. Like, the way we looked at it, the way it came down, we just think the way Pittsburgh's defense is really ramping up and starting to become a really solid defense. Since week 4, they haven't given up more than 3 touchdowns a game. you know, and it's just like that's hard pressed to find it, you know, a lot of other teams in the NFL combined that does defensively that well, but also New Orleans, their defense is really ramping up. So their offense.
Here's the thing with the Steelers, though, and you know, the 2 points really on the rest of the regular season where momentum is moving in the right direction for the Steelers right now, especially when they're able to take care of Jacksonville where they didn't play their best brand of football. But two right. games that still stand out on that schedule are the Pats, which they can never beat, and then also the game against the Saints. If they could split both of those, they're in a very good spot. If they could win both of those, I think then everyone will be saying the Steelers will be going to the Super Bowl. But then you're going to have to do it once again in the postseason because you're probably running to New England again and maybe running to the Saints again.
That's exactly what we talked about. It's going to be like Steelers, their strength of schedule throughout is tough. They only have like one game really that should be a gimme, but the rest of them are going to be tough. It's going to be hard to play. So that's why I actually took them as fourth in the postseason. They're going to win the division, but they're going to be fourth seed. So that's going to be some work.
Wow, you think they're going to be the fourth seed? So what, you have the Texans, the Pats, and the Chiefs in front of them?
Yeah, I have the Chiefs winning the division. Or, I'm sorry, winning the conference. Patriots taking second because their division is gives them a lot of wins, and they still got like three divisional games. So the Texans, too, they're heating up. They're playing really good ball, so...
Yeah, here's the one thing about the Texans. If I just look at the opponents they're playing, that's why I don't put them into the Super Bowl category. And that's no knock on them. Hey, where they started out the year, they were in a – they did a phenomenal job. And you can only play who's on your schedule because where they were from the start of the year to where they are right now, it's remarkable because they started out the year 0-3. But in this win streak, Indianapolis, good football team, not great. The Cowboys, they were dead a few weeks ago. The Bills stink. The Jaguars not good. The Dolphins not good. The Broncos not good. The Redskins, good football team, but not a great football team. So I just need to see more out of the Texans. I like Watson, and I like that defense with some of the big-name players, but there's really not a game on the rest of the schedule that's going to make me get really impressed by the Houston Texans. Now, they could continue to move up in the seeding. They play Tennessee, the Browns, the Colts. And Tennessee and the Colts are playing better. We know that. But then they have the Jets, the Eagles, who aren't playing that hot right now, and then the Jaguars. So there's not a game that I look at the rest of the way and say, wow, that would really shift my confidence with this Houston Texans team in terms of putting them in the Super Bowl category. Rob in Baltimore, next up, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Zach. How you doing?
Doing great. Go ahead.
Doing okay. Yeah, this is my thing. I think you're sleeping on the Chargers. I think they have a lot of talent.
I picked
offense.
Them to go to the Super Bowl before the year, but did you watch them up against the Broncos? That's a game that started to make me just go out on them.
Zach, every team's going to throw up a stinker.
Sure.
Okay? I mean, look what New England did against Tennessee.
Totally, I mean, they're
loaded. They're getting Joey Bosa back. And the rest of the AFC teams you pick, which are the great, they all have flaws. The Steelers have their flaws. The Pats have their flaws, and so do the Chiefs. I think you're sleeping on the Chargers.
But also remember with the Chargers, they're going to be the 5 seed. So they're going to have to win 3 games to get there, and they're going to have to go on the road for all of them unless it's something crazy where we get a 5-6 matchup in the AFC Championship game. They're going to have to go on the road to get it done. That's why the odds are stacked against them for me.
Well, so Zach, they're only one game behind the Chiefs, and they still can play them. Okay, they can still win that division.
Yeah, no, it's not impossible. I just still like Kansas City to win that division. But I appreciate the point on the Chargers. Hey, they're a good football team. I just don't think that's a team, and I picked them before the year to get to the Super Bowl, but with the way that it's playing out right now, I just don't see it. And the Chargers' schedule, let's look at the Chargers' schedule compared to the Chiefs' schedule the rest of the way. And obviously they'll meet up on similar opponents because they play in the same division. But I just don't see how many more times Kansas City does lose. Let me look at the Chiefs schedule. The Chiefs schedule. The Raiders, Ravens, they play the Chargers, the Seahawks, and the Raiders. That's not that difficult with Kansas City. Now, with the Chargers, Cardinals at Pittsburgh, the Bengals at the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Broncos. So you're going to not only have to beat the Chiefs, but you're also going to have to beat Pittsburgh. And that's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for the Chargers. I like Philip Rivers. I'm a fan of Philip Rivers. I think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. I was getting into a debate with someone right before an Eagles-Cowboy game, which was odd that we were bringing up Philip Rivers, and the talk show host in Philadelphia, Big Daddy Graham, said he would buy me a house if Philip Rivers ever gets into the Hall of Fame. So in 10, 15 years, I'll be looking forward to the new house that Big Daddy Graham is going to be buying me, as I think Philip Rivers is a Hall of Fame quarterback. And I get they get Bosa back. They have a good defensive line. I just don't see them beating out Kansas City for that division. And I know they're only a game behind, but I don't see the Chiefs losing two more games this year. And I think the Chargers do have another loss in them. That would put them at four losses in Kansas City right now is at 9-2. So we'll see. It's not impossible. It's 9-2 versus 7-3, but we'll see how it plays along the rest of the way. Chargers, once again, very good team. I don't put them in the great category after seeing where we are 11 weeks into the NFL season, now on to week 12 in the National Football League. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Do you like the way the game is being played right now? And also, who do you think is going to the Super Bowl this year? 855-212-4CBS. When we come back, we will actually take a look at some defense. As the defensive player of the year race, in my opinion, it's over.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
ZG, Zach Gelb in for Amy Lawrence After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up at 3:20 a.m. Eastern, we'll be joined by the head football coach of Army, and that's Jeff Munkin, who will be kind enough to join us on CBS Sports Radio. So there was a box of pizza in our studios from the last show. I guess Pharrell on the bench with guest host Chris Moore, who I told you when I was filling in for Pharrell, he was on for Bill Ryder, and Moore is like a mess. He really is a mess. Really nice guy, but he leaves his newspaper all spread out. He has his Twitter still logged in. He has the computer raised up right in front of the microphone because I guess his vision is no longer that good, so he has to literally put his face right in front of the computer screen to read your tweets. And there was just a bunch of garbage. Like, there's a pumpkin right now in the studio. Maybe this is for TV, for Tiki and Tierney, but why is there a pumpkin here? Halloween was October 31st. We're approaching Thanksgiving. Before you know it, it'll be Christmas, Hanukkah, and then the New Year. So the studio here is always crazy, but I guess Chris Moore probably, with his just being a generous person and his lucrative salary, elected to probably get the crew pizza. So he probably fed Shep, did a good deed, because Shep looks like he has not had something to eat in about 10 months. And then he also had Carver High's never afraid to eat a slice of pizza or two. So I walk into the studio, and I'm down 30 pounds since July. So I've been losing some weight, and I didn't really eat that much today. I went across the street because I was in there earlier doing some work. I had a soup. I went home, went to the gym, then went to sleep. And then when I got up, I had a protein shake. So that protein shake was at about, 9 p.m. Eastern. It's now 2:44 a.m. Eastern. So I started to get a little bit hungry. So I got Rosenhaus on the other side of the glass, and I'm looking at Robbie, and I go, he's a big guy, so I probably have to battle him for the slice of pizza. Chris Thomas, he's a big guy, but not as big as myself and Robbie Rosenhaus. And I go, would you guys want the slice of pizza? Chris Thomas goes, absolutely not. And then Robbie said, I don't eat cold pizza. So what did I do?
No cold pizza for me. And you and I are the tag team. Chris can be our manager, our ring attaché.
He can be the person that comes on in if we're getting, losing the fight and comes in with the steel chair and ends the fight, really. But I wanted mark my territory like a dog would, so I take a bite of the pizza. And Robbie Rosenhaus, I was stunned. He looks at me and he goes, how do you eat cold pizza? You don't like cold pizza here and there?
No, I don't. I don't like cold pizza. I don't like cold cheese. Like, I know people just like eating, like, polio mozzarella, like the string cheese out of the fridge.
Not a fan?
Stuff. No, it's not for me. Give me a piping hot slice out of the oven.
Okay, interesting. For me, pizza to me, yeah, obviously you would love it hot. But if it's in a box, I'm not walking over to the microwave to heat that sucker up. It's just not happening. But you mentioned the cold cheese slice. Usually a staple with my friends right before Thanksgiving, we go out on Wednesday. Now, I'll be working all this week on CBS Sports Radio, so I'm not going out with the friends. But usually we would go out in Huntington in New York, and we would go to this place, Little Vincent's, and they have this cold cheese slice. So it's a hot slice of pizza, but they sprinkle cold mozzarella cheese on top of it.
So it just melts into it on top.
So, yeah, exactly. So if you can imagine the sight here, most years, it's a bunch of people that have been enjoying a few beverages at the bar. It gets late, 2 in the morning, you start to leave. Everyone goes right to Little Vincent's, except the line is out the door. So last year, one of my friends, he goes, I'm not waiting. He cuts the entire line. They go, give me like a name, like Jim or something. He goes, yep, my 2 slices. Takes the 2 slices, doesn't pay for them, which is a bad move, and walks right out the door. And I said to him, I go, you could live with yourself? He goes, he must have had a few drinks. He goes, just love the pizza. I had to have the pizza because I was not waiting in line.
That move was as cold as the pizza.
Right? It was very cold. Imagine if Jim was standing there and he just goes, this jerk just took my slice of pizza after he was waiting there 20, 25 minutes. I won't wait 30 minutes for a slice of pizza. I just can't do it.
You got to do what you got to do for dairy sometimes.
Hey, I love pizza, but no slice of pizza is worth the 25-minute wait. It's just not. And we come from New York, which is the best pizza around. Sorry, folks in Chicago. New York pizza is the best. So, hey, this is my favorite time of the year. It's football, it's family, and it's food. All three of those things, those are my principles in life. Football is a religion, food's a religion, and good quality time with the family is religion as well.
Honest moment here, Zach. How many of those 30 are we putting back on over the next week?
See, I thought about this. That's why I ran a little bit extra this week. You know what? I don't think it's going to be that much. I'm going to say under 4 pounds, and here's why. I usually eat lasagna on Thanksgiving. We're still having that. I don't delve into the turkey world. That's just not what my family does. But I usually make my signature cookie cake. It's Nabisco chocolate wafers. Usually make it on Monday. You make homemade heavy cream. You put the wafer and the heavy cream together, and you make it like an icebox cake. Yeah, you make it a little like an icebox cake. Except I went to the supermarket on Monday, could not find the Nabisco chocolate wafers. So I started to get nervous. Went on Tuesday, which was yesterday, couldn't find them. And even on my way in Tuesday evening, I went to one more supermarket. And I asked the store manager, I go, where are the Nabisco wafers? The chocolate wafers, you always have them. They come in like a yellow box. He goes, I haven't had them in about 6 months. So there's going to be no cookie cake this year for the first time in my entire life at the Gelb family Thanksgiving, which I'm very disappointed about. Usually I'll put down a few slices of lasagna and a few slices of cookie cake, watch the football, then go throw up in the bathroom. Because football, with football and then also Thanksgiving, you eat until you just feel sick. You just keep on piling on the plate and then go on the couch, and then you get off the couch, pile on, and then you eventually have to hit the bathroom. But there's going to be no cookie cake this year. Very disappointed with that. And then I told my grandmother, and she started, you want to hear how tech savvy my grandmother is? She goes on the internet, she calls me after I told her the story. She goes, I just went on Amazon. They didn't even have them. Whose grandmother is able to go on Amazon? This lady is the true matriarch of our family. She tried to save the Thanksgiving by finding the cookies. Now, you can find the cookies online in other places, but they would not get there in time to make the cake for Thanksgiving. So
you can go to Carvel and get a cookie puss cake if you want.
No. Well, what the hell? What is that? What are you, like a
Fussy
the Whale
cake? That's a special
cake
that they make at Carvel. Listen, we've been going to Carvel since we were kids. It's just a special cake that they have there in the shape of a cookie face. It's just a cookie face. It's a special cookie ice cream.
The shape
cake
of a cat or something?
What's that?
Is it like the shape? It looks like a cat, maybe?
No. It looks like a cookie. It looks like a face. It's just a face with just like cookies on the cake. I'll show it to you.
I don't know. No. Hey, Thanksgiving, you got to go big. You got to go big. You got to go big or you go home. I don't want a Carvel cake for Thanksgiving. That doesn't cut it. You got to do the traditions. But one tradition, rest in peace for the first time in my life. off the, well, I won't be drinking that night because of the fact that it's Thanksgiving, but you have to pour a shot out, a ceremonial shot out for the cookie cake. So rest in peace. Andy in Pittsburgh, next up, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Andy?
Hey, talking about whether you like the game that's still the way it's played and everything.
Yes.
Yes, I like it. But as far as my Super Bowl picks, I'm still a firm believer in defense wins championships. I'm going to say Bears and Texans. I want to see Clowney against Mac.
How are the Bears and Texans, though, going to get past? How will the Bears get past the Saints and the Rams, and how will the Texans get past the Pats, Chiefs, and Steelers? I just don't see that.
Well, I think Mr. Mac, that's the NFL MVP. The Bears wouldn't be the way they are, and they could be 13-3 before the year's out.
Yeah, Khalil Mack's not the NFL MVP. The NFL MVP is either Patrick Mahomes or Drew Brees. Mack has been sensational. He's missed a few games, but he's been great. Actually, the best defensive player in football, in my opinion right now, is Aaron Donald. Look at the year he had last year. He's even better this year. He has 14.5 sacks this year. What he's doing on a football field, and Mac was sensational, absolutely great to start the season and then throughout the entire season what he was able to do on Sunday night up against the Vikings. But Aaron Donald, just play after play, just like Khalil Mack, but he has 14.5 sacks right now. Aaron Donald one day is going to be sitting in the Hall of Fame. There's no doubt about it. Cody in Redding, California, next up, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Cody?
Hey, what's up, Zach?
Doing great, my man. What's going on? Go ahead.
Oh, I'm chilling like a villain. I'm actually in the In-N-Out drive-through right now, so I figured.
Ooh, In-N-Out. The one time I went to In-N-Out, I was at the Super Bowl 50 in San Francisco.
Oh, San Francisco.
I was a little disappointed with the In-N-Out burger. They served me a cold In-N-Out burger, but you ordered it. I think the memory serves me right. It was like double-double animal style, I think was the name of the way you ordered the burger with some French fries. But I didn't love it. But, hey, a lot of people do love In-N-Out. But what do you got for me? Go ahead.
Well, first of all, that is unfortunate to hear. It usually isn't like that, but you really do got to get your burger animal style. And your fries. Get your fries animal style and extra well done. In terms of what I was going to talk about, I think the Cowboys, and, you know, we've talked about this all year long, I never thought coming into Week 12 I would be saying the Cowboys have a chance to win the division. But looking at what happened with Alex Smith and the fact that we beat the Eagles and we're a little bit up on them right now, I have to say we're the front runner in the NFC East. Our schedule is actually pretty favorable going forward. I mean, I know we still have to play the Saints. That's probably going to be a loss. But we got the Redskins again. We got the Giants again. And then we have the Eagles at home. And so, granted, you know, we might win the NFC East at 9-7 and we'll probably lose the first round.
Yeah, that's the thing with the Cowboys, and I got to run, Cody, because I'm up against a hard out here. The Cowboys could win this division. They should be the favorites to win this division. You look at the Redskins, they're now 6-4. They no longer have Alex Smith, but they're not out of it. The Eagles, I trusted them all year. Now I just don't trust them anymore. And the Giants, nice story winning two in a row, but you beat two bad football teams. So stop with this hype that the Giants are going to come on back and win the division. But you got to take care of business up against the Redskins on Thanksgiving if you're the Cowboys, which I was reading something from Matthew Friedman. It's almost Thanksgiving, which means it's time to eat pie and remember that the Cowboys are 0-7 against the spread on Turkey Day with Jason Garrett as the full-time head coach. So maybe you want to plus the points with the Redskins, but for the Cowboys' sake, they got to win the game. For the Cowboys now, they were dead. Now they're in a good spot. We're coming on back. College football next.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Welcome back in. Zach Gelbin for Amy Lawrence. After Hours right here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up at the top of the hour, Darrell Revis will join us. So we'll talk to the future Hall of Fame cornerback who did play in the National Football League, mainly as a Jet, did win a Super Bowl with the New England Patriots, had a quick stop with the Bucs, and then a quick stop in a shortened season last year with the Kansas City Chiefs. So excited to talk to Darrell Revis coming up at the top of the hour on Sirius XM Channel 206 and many of these CBS Sports Radio affiliates that we have around the country, over 200 of them. By the way, the story about USC, as there's been some talk about James Franklin, and we got into that the other night with Brian Fisher from College Football Talk, the interview Jason LaConfora did on FSR, it actually was said, where Jason LaConfora said he was also hearing about Jeff Fisher and Jack Del Rio as potential coaches at USC. Jeff Fisher. How about that? You almost think it was like a fake report, an Onion article. Not the case. But anyways, let me get into Markelle Fultz. So I woke up yesterday and I saw a tweet from David Aldridge, and it said, at the direction of his attorney, Raymond Brothers, Markelle Fultz is scheduled to see a shoulder specialist early next week, per Brothers. Fultz will not participate in team practices or games until after the specialist has had a chance to evaluate him. Now, that is what David Aldridge did tweet out. Elton Brand and Brett Brown did speak to the media, the Sixers GM and head coach, respectively. They did speak to the media yesterday. And this whole situation is so, it's really a wacky situation. Here's the thing with Markelle Fultz. So, either an injury is preventing him from remembering how to shoot, or it's a mental block. Or it could be a mixture of both. And being around this situation in Philadelphia, let me remind you, the Sixers traded with the Celtics. Jason Tatum, because of that trade, is on the Boston Celtics, and the pick that belonged to the Kings for this year's upcoming draft is also in the hands of the Boston Celtics. The only way the Sixers get that pick back is if it's the number one overall pick. It's top one protected. Everything else would convey to the Boston Celtics. So not only do you lose Tatum in the deal and you get Markelle Fultz, who's a bust right now, and at the time you thought it was a good trade. The Sixers were moving up. They had already Embiid. They had Simmons. You had to go get your third star. You thought it was Fultz, and they did their homework on Fultz, and they ended up not being right. But no one could have predicted it being this way. And if that pick that ends up going to Boston, or if they use it to get someone else or put in a deal, or they just go with the draft pick, man, this is really going to look bad for Philadelphia. You know, it looks bad with the way that Tatum's playing, but it could look even worse, which is scary to believe. But with this whole situation, if you go back to his shot and the way that it was last year, there's two situations that either happened. He either changed his shot, and because of changing the shot, he suffered an injury, and now he is where he's at. Or, where he had the shoulder imbalance last year. Or, he changed the shot, and then the injury happened. It's either he got the injury, then the shot changed, or he changed the shot, then the injury. And we still don't know after all this time that has elapsed. But Markelle Fultz, he's a bust. And it's a shame. Now, maybe he could turn his career around, but I don't think it's going to happen in Philadelphia. Maybe somewhere else, but they made that move for Jimmy Butler. That shows me that they're starting to move on from Markelle Fultz. And now he may not be with the Sixers. But Keith Pompey, who covers the Sixers for the Philadelphia Inquirer, he tweeted out this yesterday. Markelle Fultz, he did in fact work out with the Sixers, which would be yesterday, even after his agent said he wouldn't practice or play until he sees a shoulder specialist. Fultz participated in light shooting with teammates, according to league sources. The Sixers didn't have a formal practice. So this thing's a whole mess. I've been around this now for 2 years. It's a headache. It's a pounding headache. And the shame of this is really, I do believe Markelle Fultz is a good kid. I think he wants to be great. He puts in a whole lot of work to be great. From what you read and what you heard about him, when I talked to his coach at the Matha Catholic right before the draft, and then also Rafael Chilius, who did recruit him and did land him to Washington. But this is going to make for a great 30 for 30. Because think about it. What if I told you, literally, what if I told you a number one overall pick forgot how to shoot a basketball? You can't even make this stuff up. And it's frustrating. Beyond belief frustrating. And I get it. He's only 20 years old. But either he's significantly hurt or he just forgot how to shoot the basketball. And what makes it look terrible is when he's at the free throw line the other night and he's playing hot potato with the basketball. He was either playing hot potato or he looked like a pinball machine with the basketball in his hand. He's throwing the basketball back and forth, eventually raises it to his chest, then to his neck, and then shoots it. So something is seriously wrong with Markelle Fultz. And I get it, he's young. Maybe he could salvage his career. But I think the Sixers are done with him. I really do. I think they're done with him. Yeah, they would love for him to return and be great and be the player that they thought they drafted. But sometimes you just have to cut with the player and get away from a player and just take the hit now. And you just maybe have to do that. But I'm extremely doubtful, and I don't believe that he's going to turn this around with Philadelphia. I don't. And the Sixers, think about it. The Sixers in Philadelphia think that they could win now. And by winning, I don't mean winning the championship, because we know the Warriors are going to do that this season again, regardless of the contentious relationship with KD and Draymond. But they are put themselves in position after getting Jimmy Butler to win the Eastern Conference. You want to go the Raptors? You want to go the Sixers? You want to go the Celtics? Whatever team you think of the Eastern Conference, the Sixers are back in that conversation after the slow start to the season when you go out and acquire Jimmy Butler. So if Markelle Fultz returns, how do you play this guy? And I know he's coming off the bench now, but how do you play this guy significant minutes? How do you put him in a pressured situation if he can't shoot a basketball, or if he's so nervous could be, at the charity stripe? You can't trust him. And it's a shame, because it looks like he's trying as hard as he can to be a good basketball player again. But it's either the injury or it's mental. And then if it's both, we thought he had a problem, you have even more problems. So now I guess I'll see this specialist, and it's going to be early next week. And we'll go from there. But we even saw a few nights ago, TJ McConnell was getting the minutes over Markelle Fultz. TJ McConnell, good locker room player, someone that plays with a lot of energy, has been better than what anyone could think in the pros, but he should have no business being on the basketball court compared to a number one overall draft pick. But the number one overall draft pick is not good right now. And I don't know if he'll ever be good again, so I don't blame Brett. I don't blame Brett Brown at all. And I don't get how you could trust Markelle Fultz anymore. I don't. So we'll see what continues in this drama. Talking about drama, we have a whole lot of drama in the NBA. We know who's going to win the championship, but how you get there is one thing. I'll tell you about that next. And also, we got to get into the LeBron talk, as LeBron James is coming home. No Cleveland fans. He's not leaving the Lakers right now. He's coming home to play against the Cavs tonight. So we will talk about that when we come back on CBS Sports Radio. It's Zach Gelbin for Amy Lawrence.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Zach Gelbin for A-Law right here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up at the top of the hour in about 15 minutes or so, we'll be joined by Darrell Revis. So very much looking forward to that conversation. The drama in the NBA is unbelievable. It's amazing how much we fall for it and how much does come to the scene in a NBA season where once again, you know that the Golden State Warriors are going to win it all. Like, yeah, I get that they're going through some quote-unquote rough times right now. Yeah, this is, a rich family basically having a tough night at a casino, what's going on right now. They'll still be fine in terms of this year. They're still going to win the championship, and I'm not ready to move away from that. I don't think I'll ever be able to be ready to move away from that for this upcoming season that we're in right now. But the drama, the day-to-day drama, since the season started, has been absolutely incredible. So you have Kawhi Leonard, our new team with the Raptors, coming off last year. You have LeBron James on a new team in the Lakers. You get Ty Lue getting fired after a few games into this season. You have the Kevin Durant, Draymond Green fight where KD got told from Draymond Green, hey, we won before here. He called him the B word, and we won before you got here, and we could win after, you know, if you leave. You're holding the franchise hostage. And then Draymond gets suspended for a game because the organization, surprise, surprise, breaking news, wants to keep Kevin Durant. You also had the CP3 Rondo fight, which was fun to see. You have the whole situation with the Wizards with Beal and Wall. And now they're listening for trade offers. Carmelo Anthony will eventually be leaving the Houston Rockets. That experiment did not work out. J.R. Smith will be moving on from Cleveland. Who knows if he's throwing a bowl of soup at any assistant coaches on his way out. You got the Jimmy Butler trade. And that whole fiasco with how the practice happened and his demands with the Timberwolves. Well, he winds up in Philadelphia, which, by the way, was one of the most impressive press conferences I've ever been at. They rolled out the red carpet and more for Jimmy Butler. They had Jimmy Butler donuts at this press conference. They had music. The entire Sixer staff was there. I'm talking about the salespeople, the janitor. It was ridiculous, the showing at the Jimmy Butler press conference. You have the Markel Fultz situation that we talked about in the last segment. And so many other more stories. And there's going to be so many other more stories. It just goes on and on and on. And there's never-ending drama. And as a sports fan, it makes you want to watch the NBA. Sure, I get it. This is a year where, once again, the Warriors are most likely, and they will, not most likely, they will win their third straight championship. It's going to be a three-peat. But there's so many stories that makes it compelling enough to tune in each night. And then, oh yeah, by the way, coming up later today at 8 p.m. Eastern, you have LeBron James returning to Cleveland, which I'm sure you're going to get the tribute video and a standing ovation for LeBron James since he did bring a championship back to Cleveland. But you also wonder throughout the duration of the game how the Cleveland fan does react, because now they're going into an irrelevant period once again as a basketball franchise, and they know how dark that road is when the first time LeBron James left to go join the Miami Heat. And that was the decision. It was the wrong way to do it. If he wanted to leave, he should have never done the decision. He has every right to go where he wants to go, but it was embarrassing, the decision, even though it was for a good cause and raised a whole lot of money. But going about that and the way that he went about that was a major slap in the face and was an obnoxious way to do it to the city of Cleveland. However, he did come back after winning with the Heat, and you would have thought that they would have won more championships than just the one, but you could not have predicted what the Warriors would have become. And you also could not have predicted that Kevin Durant would have wound it up with the Golden State Warriors as well. So then he goes out to the Lakers, and we'll see how he now builds with that team with the Lakers, where if you want to get back to the drama, he said a few weeks ago he almost snapped when they were in the losing streak. And then he reminded himself that he has to have patience, and he didn't expect maybe necessarily this to get turned around in a few days with the Lakers. But let me ask my guys on the other side of the glass, Chris Thomas and Robbie Rosenhaus. So I think tonight he's going to get a mega standing ovation. They'll do a tribute video. I'm just going to bet that there's not going to be this warm, fuzzy moment with Dan Gilbert and LeBron James where they hug and say, oh yeah, every little thing, it's going to be all right, no problem. When they won a championship, they never had that moment where they embrace. So it's not going to happen after LeBron James elected to leave once again. Even though there was those reports, oh yeah, Dan Gilbert wanted his team back. He wanted his team back. Please. If he actually thinks that way, he's an idiot. Because you can't lose LeBron James, because your basketball team then goes to the biggest state of being irrelevant. However, as the game goes on, how do you think the Cleveland fan treats LeBron? I think for the entire evening, and I can understand why some fans would be upset, but at the end of the day, this was the king. This was someone that brought Cleveland a championship, and we know how deprived Cleveland is of championships. Heck, when they won the championship, you had a fan eating horse poop. That's how excited those fans were and how crazy those fans were. And the passion, I remember the Browns game where the Browns beat the Jets this year. We were on, we could have did a whole show just for Cleveland, a 92.3 The Fan, one of our great affiliates, which I'm going to text Ken Carmen that right now. I'm going to say, what's the cheer to boo ratio tonight for LeBron in your opinion? Now, here's my answer. And we were throwing this around in between the break. I'm going to say it's 90 cheers, 10% boo. And the boos may be a little bit high on 10%. I think this is going to be a love fest, a slobber fest for LeBron James tonight when he goes back to Cleveland. Now, Chris, what are you going on this? Producer Chris Thomas, what is the cheer to boo ratio?
So I think initially it'll be a serenation. He'll come in. They'll play a video montage.
They'll genuflect to the kid.
Yeah, he'll have his moment on the court. Maybe they'll dim the lights even, and it'll be great. But then reality's going to snap back in. He's going to be wearing the other team's jersey. They're going to be getting blown out by 25 points, and then the boos are going to start coming.
I don't know. Doesn't winning a championship, doesn't that?
Look at the Eagles.
Yeah, that's different, though. Stop it. That's not one of your own players. That's one of your guys that won a championship. You could boo if you're an Eagles fan when the team isn't showing any life and looks like a lethargic football team when you're going up against the Falcons or when you're going up against the Cowboys. That's different. This is the king, the best player. He was yours. And I know you lost him twice, but I don't see them booing him too much, even if they're getting blown out by 30.
That's the girlfriend that left you twice, though. You took her back, and then she left you again.
But you remember the good times because she was one hot girlfriend.
She was. You know? There's a deep scar there. There's a deep scar there.
Robbie Rosenhaus, what you got for me?
I don't know. Would they boo Chris Bosh if he went back to Toronto? No, I'm kidding. No, I agree with Chris. I think it's going to be mostly cheers at the beginning, and then I think as the game wears down and the fans start to see a blowout, I think, you know, as he, you know, he's going to want to score as many as he wants. You know, he's going to want to put in as many as he can. So I think it's going to wear on as the game
goes. So what's the number that you guys have at? If you had to give me a percentage number.
I'll say 75-25.
75-25. And the math, that equals up to 100. So good. You?
Initially, I'll go 90-10 like you at the start of the game. By the end, I'll say it's 75-25 boos.
Okay, I'll go 90-10. Oh, Ken Carman actually just got back to me. He was going to be doing Morning Drive today, by the way, on 92.3 The Fan, as he does every day on his Monday through Friday on his great morning radio program on 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, one of our fantastic affiliates. He says over 90% cheers. So maybe that's why Ken's a talk show host like myself, and maybe that's why Chris is on the other side of the glass. I'm just messing. That was such a jerk thing to say. You should really cut my mic off after saying it. Go Tony Reale.
Yeah,
on that.
Yeah, the bosses would not like it if I cut your mic off and exactly. Made it the Chris Thomas show.
Turn my mic on!
No, sir.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line 855-212-4227 is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all at geico.com. Leslie in Fort Lee's been holding forever. Leslie, thank you for holding. What's up?
Yeah, thanks, Zach. You know what? I got to tell you, I'm done with the Vikings this year. Not only are they not a championship team, they're not a playoff team. They're not winning the division. They're just not good.
But they can still make the postseason as a sixth seed. I don't think they're going to win the division anymore. The Bears put themselves in a nice spot at 7-3. Kirk Cousins did not play well the other night. You got to play better with the money he's getting. They've had some tough injuries. They're 5-4-1. It's not impossible they make the postseason, but yeah, I don't think they're a Super Bowl team. Really, to me, only two teams have a shot to go to the Super Bowl in the NFC, and that's the Saints and the Rams. But for the Vikings, in terms of making the postseason, we'll know more about them in their next three games. Packers, Patriots, Seahawks. You got to go 2-1 there.
Yeah, and here's where the rubber meets the road. The Vikings are not going to win at New England. They're not going to win at Seattle. They have never been a good road team. If they can't win at Chicago, what makes anybody think that the Vikings would win at New England or at Seattle?
It's perfectly fair now. And I remember, Leslie, before the season, you were all over the Vikings. You thought they were going to the Super Bowl. So you're telling me how it is, and you know I appreciate it because there's a lot of times people will call in and say, oh, how do you not pick a team to go to the Super Bowl? And then when they don't play well, then that person, we never hear from them again, and they're crickets. But we always hear from you, Leslie. We know that.
Zach, here's the problem with the Vikings. To me, it's their defense. Their defense is overrated. Against the great offensive teams, whether it's the Saints, the Eagles. I'm talking about the Eagles from last year's playoff game. You know, and
they didn't show up. They got smacked. But also remember, in that game, Case Keenum had a terrible pick six when momentum was in the Vikings' favor. And then he also, I believe he fumbled the football. Derek Barnett had the strip sack, or he had the fumble recovery when they were driving, which we keep on talking about the Vikings. I know you're a big Vikings fan, Leslie.
Yeah.
Robbie Rosenhaus was at that game in Philadelphia, who's my board op this morning.
Yeah.
And throughout this entire phone call, his hands are on top of his head, and the ski cap that he's wearing is going over his eyes. So you're bringing up some bad memories for him.
Yeah, well, you know, I just got to tell the truth because right now I'm just being honest. I mean, I can't be in denial. I mean, this defense just gets exposed against great offensive teams, whether it's the Saints or whether it's the Packers Oh, but it's the Bears. I mean, it's been going on a lot under Zimmer the last 2 years. I mean, these are facts, not opinions.
And it's surprising, too, because I do like Mike Zimmer as a head football coach, and I appreciate the phone call, Leslie, because I'm up against it. But, yeah, that defense has come up small, and I don't know how their season's different if Everson Griffen did not have happen what he had happened to him when it came to that Bills game, right before that Bills game. I don't know how that changes the season, but now he's back. But the defense just, they have to play better. They've had some bad injuries. There's no doubt about it, but Kirk Cousins didn't show up and perform the other night against the Bears. And you need him to be that money player, that planet player, needs to make planet plays, as Scott Zolak would say. And he wasn't able to make the planet plays on Sunday Night Football. When we come back, someone who is a planet player, he's Darrell Revis. He joins us next, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.